Praise the Lord. Good morning. You don't have to all go quiet. You can still say praise the Lord. Good morning. Well, let's just open up our hearts to what the Lord wants to do today. So I'm sure we have all had plans and maybe ideas of what today's service is going to look like. But you know, in heaven, in the supernatural realm, God has a perfect plan for each and every one of us today. And it requires us to be prepared and open our hearts and our spirits to be able to receive what he wants to do in us. The Bible says that he has started a good work in us. And it says that he'll be faithful to complete that work unto the day of Jesus Christ. So today could be another level of that work being done in you. Lord, we just confess right now, Lord, that we need you. We need you, Lord, more than the air we breathe, Lord. We need you more, Lord, more than anything in our lives, Lord. Even if we don't know it, Lord, help us to realize that that is the truth, Lord, that we need you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your presence, Lord. Let your presence fill this place. Let your presence fill these places, Lord, each and every heart today, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We commit, Lord, our lives. We commit the service. We commit every aspect of today into your hands. We ask, Lord, that your perfect will would be done here in this place, in our hearts. We just give you, Lord, all the honor and the praise, the adoration that you're due. In Jesus' name, everyone said.
Let's go and stand, church. We give you the honor, we give you the praise. Worthy is your name. Surround me with a song. I'm no longer a slave to fear, 'cause I am a child of God. Yeah, I'm no longer a slave to fear, for I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, fears are drowned in perfect love. Cause there's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen. Of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord, and Holy Spirit, you are well. grace and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your prayer.
One more time, sing Holy Spirit.
And Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me, and light a flame in my soul for every eye to see. And for the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me, like a fire in me. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me, the light of flame in my soul, for every eye to see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me, like a fire in me. I'm laying down my control. I'm never looking back, or I surrender all. I'm living for your glory, all the earth. There's passion in my heart, it's stirring in my soul. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me.
claim in my soul for every eye to see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me, like a fire in me.
I just want to stay here for a minute, you guys, and just really, like, break this down. Because what a powerful statement that is, to burn like a fire in me for the sake of our world. Because right now, our world is dark, and it's confused. And it needs not little embers, but it needs fires, right? It needs something that's going to catch, that's going to move, that's going to do what our forests are doing right now, right? Where it's uncontained. The enemy right now has us feeling like we have to just stay silent and be at peace. But peace doesn't mean that we have to be quiet, y'all. It means that we get to look different. We don't have to be hateful. We don't have to, like, go and be in opposition all the time. Our countenance, how the Lord, and we allow him to burn in us, does enough. The Holy Spirit is the one that comes and brings discernment and conviction. We don't need to bring condemnation, y'all. We just need to put our hearts on fire for him, for their sake and for ours, right? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You guys, this is not an easy thing to be saying. These are not just words on a page. This is a mandate. This is a call to action. Burn like a fire in me. For the sake of my brothers and sisters, burn in me, God, so that I can't stay quiet, so that I can't just sit still in a Sunday service, so that I'm willing, Lord, to give testimony of who you are.
Yeah.
You guys, Jesus died for us. He gave his life so that we could have more abundance, relationship, not religion. Burn like a fire in me. Do you guys know what it is to burn like a fire? You know, like when you get, like, most people are attracted to fire. Like, it's just, it's so beautiful, right? They can't help but be drawn near to it. So when we allow the Lord to burn like a fire in us, people can't help but be attracted to who you are and the hymn that's in you. And then comes change because they want to know, what is that? Why are you like that? The world says to do this, but you're doing this. And for some reason, it feels so good. There's like the warmth to it. It's like home. It's like, ah, you know? You guys, if you feel stirred right now in your spirit to want more of the Lord, I just call you. I just want to ask that you would come and stand up front because the Lord has more to give right now. He wants to burn like a fire in you. He wants to cause something to stir in you that causes you to have others stir around you in Jesus' name. So we're going to do that again. Will you go back into that chorus? And I'll have you lead the first time with music, and then we're going to go to just voices. And I want us not to get quiet because the music stops, but I want us to get louder because it stops, right? We don't do just what the music tells us to do. We do what our heart tells us to do, right? So let's make this declaration together, you guys, knowing that what we're doing, what we're asking the Lord to do, because this is going to be a call to be different in the world. This doesn't mean that you get to stay the same when you leave here. This means you're going to burn differently, and you're going to catch fire where you go. You're going to influence those people around you like never before, not because of anything other than your pursuit of him is different, and you allow him to burn in you differently in Jesus' name. Amen? All right.
For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul for every eye you see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Like a fire in me. For the sake of the world, burn.
a fire in me. Sing it for the sake. And for the sake of the world. For every knee to bow down,
for every heart to believe,
for every voice to cry out, burn like a fire in me, for every tongue to confess, you alone are the King, you are the hope of the earth, burn like a fire. Sing for the sake. And for the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul for every eye to see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Like a fire. One more time, church, for the sake. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul for every eye you see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Like a fire in me.
Burn like a fire in each and every heart here today, Lord. God, that they would feel you differently, experience you more intimately, Father, that you would just douse them, God, in your holy countenance, Father. Lord, that they would just be more and more thirsty for you because of the fire that burns in them, God. And that the people around them, Father, would just begin to wonder, what is that? And ask good questions, God. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you are not limited by the four walls of this church. I thank you, God, that you're not limited by who we are, God, but that you love your people. voices.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Again.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.
We want more of you. Oh, Jesus, that we would just begin to look more and more like you every day. Father, I thank you, God, that you've given us grace to be able to be the light to our brothers and sisters. Father, I just declare right now, God, that you would give us boldness to be that light, Father. That when we leave today, Father, we're transformed by your Spirit and our minds are renewed, God. I thank you, Lord. Yeah, we just give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Yes, let's just give God just a hand of praise. Yeah, go ahead, hug a neck, get some coffee.
Good morning, good morning. We are going to do Heart of the House declaration. And we continue to make these declarations, the one over the city as well as the one over our house, because we just believe that there's power in our words. And we believe that when we declare things, God hears us and God is for us. Amen. And so if you guys would stand with me, we're going to make this declaration over the heart of our house. And you know, when we say our house, this is the house of God, the capital C church. So yes, we are declaring things over One Life Family Worship. But as well, I know we have some visitors here as well. And so I would just encourage you to have your church in mind as well, because we are believing for mighty things for all of our churches here in the Valley. Amen. Yeah. All right. So say this with me on three. One, two, three. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and he is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord. That God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind. And we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Jesus, we just thank you, God, for this house. God, we thank you, Lord, for all the churches in our valley. And we thank you, Jesus, that you use, Lord, your people, Lord, to move, Lord, to move the Spirit of God, Lord, in the way you want it to go, God. And so I just ask this morning, Lord, that you would continue to fill this place, Lord, with your sweet, sweet presence, God. God, we thank you so much, God, for just how much you love, Lord, your church, how much you love and how much you're putting intention into building your church. And so we just thank you, Jesus, again for who you are in this place. And we love you and we thank you that you love us. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen, amen. You guys can be seated. We have just one announcement, and that is next Sunday, August 25th, we are having a barbecue at Wixon Park here in Sela. Has anybody not seen this yet that has wanted to see it? So this is a sign-up sheet for bringing food, kind of doing it potluck style. The church is providing the main dish, but if you want to bring a side dish, if you have not signed up already, this will be up here. And yeah, it's going to be a great time, 5 to 7 o'clock. And that's not like a hard end time. If we want to hang out later, we can. But this is just a great time for us to come together, kind of our last little summer kickoff as a church. And again, this isn't just church exclusive. If you have a family member or friend that you want to come and hang out and come eat some food, please do so. And then last thing is giving. We just thank you guys for consistently giving to the church and pouring into what God's doing here at this house. It does not go unnoticed. You can give online as well as in the box here, box in the back. So I'm excited because we have a couple things going on youth-centered this morning. As some of you may or may not know, this last week, my wife and I had the privilege and pleasure of taking down 16 of our youth students to Dorena, Oregon, to youth camp. And youth camp is probably the one thing, even before youth group, that I say, be at this thing. Because there is something special that happens at youth camp, something special about taking a teenager away from their normal routine, their friends, their family, and you know, there's no cell service up there, and it's just Jesus and water games and slime this year, which is from the devil, but they had it. But there's just something, there's this level of fun, but more than that, there's this emphasis of Holy Spirit. Okay. And so this is why Nancy and I really, really put a push on youth camp. And when we're fundraising, we're not just doing it because we want to just go do something with our youth. We could stay here and spend less money and get less messy and do something fun with our youth. But we believe truly in making that intentional time for our youth students. And so not all of our youth are here, because if you don't know, our youth is made up of an array of kids that go to different churches as well, but some of them are here this morning. And so I'm going to have them come up, and I ask them just to share a brief thing on what God has done in their lives this last week. So go ahead and come up. Can you guys give it up for these guys? If you went to youth camp, please come up. And we're going to start with Nate. Nate, what did God do?
He just made me think more like about my actions and how they affect my relationship with the Lord, and just like rekindled my love for Him, and just
God relit a lot of fires in students that came to youth camp, and that was really important. For me especially, I think I needed that fresh renewal, especially going into the school year, and yeah, so we had a lot of amazing encounters throughout youth camp.
There's some really good messages, and some of them just really spoke to me and spoke to all of us. And then the worship there was just so good. Sometimes I got so excited I just like couldn't breathe for a second, but then I got back into it. It was all good.
Yeah. It was just really cool to see like this big community of youth kids coming, striving for the same thing in God. And so getting to see that firsthand was amazing. And then personally, I just got to grow in my own confidence in the Lord.
Kind of what Jacob said, the community part, but instead with worship, how much community is important with worship. You realize that everybody is singing the same words, but we all also have our hearts postured towards the same like goal. I took away what Eric said last week during his word that a stirred faith stirs others' faith, and I kept thinking about that all during youth camp.
So good. Yeah, for me personally, I got to have a lot of bondages broken off, and not only bondages and lies broken off, but truths put in those place. And so it was just a really awesome experience to just get to worship with my peers and just get new truths installed in me.
One thing that was really special for me was finding my identity in Christ and like in Him more than I have before, and definitely being able to like worship and have the same community around me instead of having like a different school, especially since I don't go to like Riverside, which is a Christian school. So it was really important for me to be able to be around the same people who think like me.
For me, it was pretty much, I got to say all of it, because I went there not really wanting to go. And then something was like, oh, you just got to go. You got to go. And so I ended up going. I ended up leaving with a whole new perspective of God in so many different ways. And just to the point to where when we'd sing a Set a Fire Down in My Soul, that same song we sang over there, you just had to stop singing. And when I say it's what heaven sounded like, it's what heaven sounded like, but I know in heaven it's a million times better. But we just got a piece of it on earth, and it was beyond beautiful, more beautiful than what the ears can normally comprehend. And with the no service, greatest thing ever. Greatest thing ever. Escape from reality was 10 out of 10. Because not only did I get to disconnect from the world, I also got to disconnect from sin. And when I unplugged from all that, I plugged in with the youth. I plugged in with the kids there. I plugged in with our youth pastors. I plugged in with so much more in the Holy Spirit there. And I can just recommend, if you have kids, let them come. 10 out of 10, let them come.
Awesome. So let's do something, church, really quick before we send these guys off. Would you just extend your hands to these guys? As you know, the devil's a liar, and he is really mad that kids are getting stirred up. And so I just want to pray protection over them. So if you would extend your hands to them. Jesus, we just thank you so much for these young people. We just pray blessings, Lord, over them. We pray protection, God, over what you did, Lord, this week. And we just thank you, Jesus, that you're solidifying, Lord, in their hearts, Lord, them following you, God. Lord, that this is a generation, Lord, that we'll see Jesus come, Lord, to the earth, Lord, to our country, God, to their schools, God. And we just thank you, Jesus, that the tide is shifting, Lord, in all of the families represented here, all the schools represented here. And we just thank you, Jesus, that you are solidifying today, God, what you want to do in these young people's lives. And we just thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. Awesome. So, we can spend all morning talking about camp, but we also have something really special happening this morning. A couple weeks ago, Sienna Temple, if you have not gotten an opportunity to meet her, one of our favorite people, and she has made the decision to get baptized. And so, Sienna, would you join us up here, or join me up here, and you have a few words to share?
I'm Sienna. I'm getting baptized today, and I was baptized previously when I was around 13, but I've seen God work in an infinite amount of ways in my life since then, so I just kind of wanted to reaffirm my faith now in my new church community, who has blessed me more than words can even say. I just want to thank all of you for that, especially Pastor Mike, Pastor Gigi, and then Pastor Eric and Nancy. You guys have blessed me so much and welcomed me into your family. And last but not least, Ms. Skylie Rain, who has encouraged me more than anybody this year in my walk of faith. And Jesus Christ, of course, because he has just kept chasing after my heart, and I couldn't be more happy about that.
Praise God. Amen, amen. So you can come over here.
Praise the Lord. That's church. That is church. Well, praise God. I'm so excited to hear about the testimonies, what the Lord did in your life this past week, youth. And I believe, this is my heart, that this was not just a mountaintop experience. We actually prayed this downstairs, but that it's a continuation of what God's already started in you, and it's going to continue on throughout the school year, that you guys will affect people's lives just because of the fire that's burning in you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So over the past several weeks, I've been sharing on different aspects of prayer, and this all really kind of started just the day before the assassination attempt on President Trump. And what happened was I got this verse the beginning of the week, and I started, you know, reading it, and it was like a very poetic, beautiful verse, and I'll read it here in a moment. And what ended up happening is, as I was reading it, it's like, wow, I got to share this with the congregation. And so I didn't know how I was going to share it. I didn't know if I was going to say, hey, this is a beautiful sounding verse. It's very poetic. It's from Psalms. I hope you enjoy it and see what the Lord did. But as that day unfolded on the 13th, I realized that there was something that the Lord was doing in my heart and that he wanted to do in the hearts of his people. And so let's go ahead and read this. Today's message is called Effectual Fervency. In Psalm 85, 8 through 12, it says, "Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase." So I shared About 4 weeks ago, you guys can go back online if you want to hear that particular full message on just that particular verse. But here it's kind of broken down in what really has kind of stuck out to me and has been the crux of my message. In Psalm 85:9 starts, it says, "Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. We're his. We fear the Lord reverently, with a respect and an honor. And because of that fire that burns in us, that glory may dwell in our land." That's what we were talking about. Lord, let your fire burn in me. Why? So it would reach the world, the lost. Verse 10, steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. I love that steadfast love and faithfulness are connected together. That true love, when it's full of God, is faithful. It will continue to go on even when you don't always feel like it. You don't always think it. It's like it's in your burning in your heart. And then righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. And then another verse that's kind of the key thought here is that until the Spirit is poured out from on high and the wilderness is this parched land out there that you probably lived in before you knew Christ, that it was like, what is life all about? And everything that happened to you seemed to be like a disaster. Even when there was good times, it seemed like they would end quickly and bad times would come. And the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is deemed as a forest. So second message that I covered was on the covenant of change. And what this is about is that in us is the whole glory of God, the power of God, the anointing of God. All of God resides in us. And because he resides in us and lives in us, we can be part of this covenant of change, that we help bring transformation to our land. And I started off by saying that each one of us has to let God transform us first before we can change our land, before we can change our family, before we can change our schools, before we can change our workplaces, before we can change our other family members. It has to start with us. And so the wilderness can become a fruitful field. Then the second message, or the third message really, was about standing in the gap. And it's that the Lord was looking for someone to stand in the gap. I don't have the verse here, but basically he wanted to see if someone would stop the destruction from coming upon the land of Israel. And that's us. We can stand in the gap for our nation. We can stand in the gap for Yakima Valley. We can stand in the gap for our families so that it averts having the disaster come upon them. How many know that if had you not received Christ, that your life probably would have suffered disasters along the way? Now, we may suffer disasters along the way, but in Christ, it seems like he makes them all work out. But when you're not in Christ, it seems like your whole world is falling apart. So today I want to talk about effectual fervency. And some of you may have heard a verse that sounds similar to that, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I want to, first of all, start with 1 Kings, because I don't know if you guys recognize this, but this is Elijah before he is about to face King Ahab. And he has come off of 3 years, 3.5 years of drought because he prayed for no rain. And this no rain was so that the people would come to him, come to God. And so what ends up happening here is that he is now praying for rain that the Lord asked him to pray for. So let's go ahead and go to 1 Kings 18, 42 through 45. So Ahab, this is the king of Israel at this time, a wicked king. His wife was a wicked queen, and they caused all kinds of havoc in the land of Israel. But so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." So a servant is told while Elijah is praying, "Go up and see, look out into the distance and tell me what you see." So 7 times he goes out, and it wasn't till the last time that he came back. And it says, "Then it came to pass the 7th time that he said, 'There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea.'" You know, sometimes when we are letting the glory of God flow through us, when we're standing in the gap, when we're believing for a covenant of change, sometimes it's just a small dot. It doesn't seem like much is happening. It doesn't seem like much is going on, but it's the start of something. You know, the Bible says to basically look small with the start of small beginnings. In other words, don't look at it and say, oh, there's nothing that's going to come of that. No, when God starts something, when he starts something in you, he will finish it. And if we yield to it and surrender to it, that this cloud that he starts in, this small hand, will end up growing into something that will change lives and starting with ours. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Did anybody experience the rain last night? Yeah. It's almost like the Lord gave an illustration. I looked out in the yard just after, like, it was a second rain, and there was just like the flower beds were just completely full of water. And I was like, wow, it's a good thing that wasn't like, you know, the roads that we used to have where they were just dirt, because I bet they'd be almost impassable. This is what Elijah is telling Ahab. Go up, get in your chariot, because the rain's going to come so hard that your chariot won't even be able to get back to the palace. Now, it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. There was a heavy rain. In James chapter 5, 16 through 18, we see this now being communicated in the New Testament of what prayer can do, and a certain type of prayer. It says here, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Just keep in mind that when you see this picture of Elijah here, I mean, he looks like, okay, this is a godly man. I'm nothing like Elijah. You know, I haven't raised the dead. You know, Elijah has a big laundry list of all the things that he accomplished. But this is, the scripture is reminding us that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. What does that mean? That means he struggled. He had issues. He had things that were battling in his mind. But he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. Why did he do that? Because God asked him to. God asked him to pray that there would be no rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So some of you are thinking, like, you know, well, I'm not righteous like Elijah. You know, I have issues in my life. I've done things. I have habits and patterns that I've done. Yeah, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, but he surrendered his will and his ways to God, and that made the difference. Let's look at this verse here from a different standpoint with a few different translations. It says in verse 16b again, the prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. I love that. The prayer of a person living right with God. What is living right with God again? Does that mean your whole life is perfect? No, but that means your heart surrendered. See, in other words, like when we started service today, I said, let's prepare our hearts. Let's surrender our hearts. It means that we're saying, God, I don't want to be in control of my life. I want you to be in control. And when I do get in control, please come in and check me and get me steered back on the right way. And then when we are like that, when we're in a right living standard with God, our prayers are powerful and there's something to be reckoned with. I like the NIV says this, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. What does this mean? It means that it's going to accomplish something. It's powerful. I think of Jesus saying that if we just would not doubt and believe in our heart, that we would what? In our prayer say, this mountain be removed and be cast into the sea. That's always blown. When I read that the first time in the Bible, it's like, really? A mountain? I mean, we were just in the Sisters Mountains this week, and they're big, you know. Go to Mount Rainier. It's big. I mean, can you see Mount Rainier being cast into the sea? Well, God talks about that kind of faith can do that. Now, I don't know if God wants us to cast Mount Rainier into the sea. Probably would create havoc on the west side, because that's probably where it would go. But I'm just saying, this is the kind of faith, the kind of powerful prayer that we can have. The NLT says this, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And then the Amplified says this, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man or a believer can accomplish much. When put into action and made effective by God, it is dynamic and can have tremendous power. The heartfelt and persistent prayer. Heartfelt. What does that mean? That means that you're not just mouthing words. It means that you're not just saying, oh, you know, Pastor Mike, you know, said to pray for someone, or, you know, we're supposed to pray for our family, we're supposed to pray for our city, and you just go through some words. No, you're just sitting there and you're taking a few moments, you're saying, Lord, what's your heart for Yakima? Lord, what's your heart for my family? Lord, what is your heart, Lord, for my coworkers, Lord, that don't know you? And you're taking a moment and you're letting your heart connect with it. And then you know what? You persistently pray. Doesn't mean you pray one time for them. Persistence means you continually pray. And that says that this continuous prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. So this word, or effective fervency, is a combined word, and it literally means this: to put forth power. This energio is the Greek word. To be operative, to work. Its usual meaning is rendered by the verb to work effectually. In other words, effective work. Have any of you ever worked with anybody at a job? Maybe it's just, you know, you're cleaning your house or something like that, a brother or sister or someone at work, and you're working alongside of them, and you're putting in a lot of effort, and they're not putting in much effort. They're not working effectually. They're not putting in effort. So you're doing the majority of the work. So working effectively and effectually means that it is effective work. It's work that will accomplish what it's meant to do. Right? Amen. So I want to deal with this for a moment, because I think a lot of us deal with image, self-image. I think you mentioned it, you know, Fabian, you said that there was something about, and you mentioned it, Sherlyn, there was something that changed in you, and that was your image of who God has made you to be. And I know that when I, you know, communicate about us, you know, standing in the gap or transforming our land or changing our family or changing our schools, sometimes we think, who am I? You know, the prayer of a righteous man avails much. Am I righteous? Is my behavior always lining up with this truth? Well, I want to remind you that Romans 5:19 says this: for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So in other words, Adam and Eve's sin in the garden has made all of us sinners. We all fell into that camp. It's not something that, you know, we got just because, you know, our behavior was bad. It's something that was born into us. We had the planting of sin in us. Like kids, you don't have to teach them how to not be sinful, how to not be naughty, as we used to call it. You know, you have to teach them to be what? Good. You have to teach them morals. They fall into the pattern of being sinners much easier than they do of being righteous. Then it says, so also by one man's obedience, this is Jesus Christ, his obedience on the cross, many will be made righteous. Many will be made righteous. Who are the many? Well, I'm here to tell you, we are the many. And it's not that we're going to be made righteous just, you know, someday. We're made righteous now. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this: for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. So Jesus, who never did anything to deserve to be named a sinner, became sin for you and I. On the cross, he was sin. He became sin on the cross, and he became our punishment. He became the one who took our punishment for us. It says, for he made him to be no sin, for him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So when it says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman or child, doesn't matter, avails much, it's because we can say we are righteous in Christ. So it doesn't matter about if our behavior always lines up with that. If our heart is surrendered, we're believers, we believe in Christ, and we yield to his work in us, then we are able to pray this effectual fervent prayer and see things happen, see things change. Here's kind of what can happen when someone yields to this idea of fervent prayer. It says Epaphras, this is Colossians 4, 12 through 13. Epaphras, who is one of your own, a slave of Messiah Yeshua, greets you. He is always laboring in prayer on your behalf. He's always laboring. So this is someone that came to Paul in another city from Colossians, and he spent time with Paul. And during this time, he is praying for his church in Colossae. And he is laboring in prayer for them. And it says, so you may stand complete and fully assured about everything that is God's will. For what? Their lives. It's for their lives. So when you think of a brother or sister, when I think of you guys, I'm asking the Lord's perfect will to be done in your life, for his kingdom to be established in your heart, for your ways to be directed, your paths to be directed by him. And then he says, for I testify that he has gone to much trouble for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. So prayer is a labor. Prayer is work. I mean, it's not easy. It can be easy. There are times that prayer is easy because it's the Lord just inspiring you. But sometimes prayer is just, Lord, I'm going to give this time to you, and I'm going to commit this time to you. I'm going to stand in the gap for those in my life, for those that you've put in my life. And I ask you, God, to give me direction in this prayer for them. And when you do that, you can then see later on the hand of God work in their lives, especially if someone doesn't know the Lord. You may be the one that says, Lord, remove the scales, remove the veils, remove the obstacles, remove the barriers that's keeping them from knowing you. And you praying like that could be the key to them being able to see the glorious gospel of Christ and come alive in their hearts, and that they would be changed and transformed into who he created them to be. Because God would have it that not one single individual would perish, but all that would come to repentance. Every single individual in the world come to repentance. Some people say, well, God didn't intend for all to be saved. Well, God's intention is that all would come to repentance. God's intention is that all would be saved. Now, whether all will, that's whosoever will, that's their will. But we can pray in such a way that all the resources of heaven can be released to work to draw them to him. I know for a fact that angels were working on my behalf to make it so that I could receive Christ. Part of it is just so that I could live long enough to receive Christ. Amen. Anybody else agree to that? Then I'm going to focus just a moment on this part here, where it says at the very end of verse 18, it says, then he prayed that it would rain, and it did. The showers came, and everything started to grow again. That's what this whole series has been about, that everything would start to grow again. That we wouldn't just look at the world and look at the nation and look at our cities and look at our neighborhoods and just say, well, it's going to hell in a handbasket. There's nothing we can do. You know, it's the people have made their choice and now they have to lie in it. You know, they made their bed and now they have to lie in it. Well, you can get that kind of an attitude. I've had that kind of an attitude. No, let's be people that believe that God can change and transform our world around us, and that everything can start to grow again. That it's not just a wilderness. It's not just, you know, lives that have been thrashed by the devil. It's like him starting to work and plant seeds, and seeds where they start to grow, and they start to grow and produce fruit. The APB says this, ABP says this, and again he prayed, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth burst forth its fruit. I like that, its fruit. I think there's individuals out there, there's lives out there, and they are intended to be fruit. And I believe that we, as individuals of prayer as Christians, can stand in the gap, can be the ones that release the glory from us, through us. It's not our glory, it's Christ's glory, but he dwells in us. I mean, you know, Lord, save the world, what? Burn a fire in me. That's what we're talking about here. This is, you know, this is the practicality of burning a fire in you. It's where you put others first before you, before your own needs. How many know that you can just spend 24/7 satisfying your own needs? I mean, and it's very easy. Maybe it's just, you know, digital information, or maybe it's games for some, or it's watching whatever there is to watch, or going out and doing whatever there is to do, because there's always activities we can be involved in. But then God, burn a fire in me. And I believe if a fire is burning in us, that more of those things aren't going to have as much captivation in our hearts. What will captivate our hearts is what God's intention is. What's God's intention? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And what do those souls do then? They produce fruit. The New Living Translation says this: then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. There are lives out there that need our effectual fervency. There are situations out there that need our effectual fervency. You know, there may be someone sitting right next to you right now that needs your effectual fervency. And what is that? That's you surrendering your heart to God, saying, Lord, not me, but you. Not my will, but yours be done. Not my intentions, but your intentions be fulfilled. And Lord, help me to be a catalyst of change. Help me to agree with your covenant of change that you have for the earth, that you bring transformation and change. Lord, help me be the one, God, that stands in the gap, Lord, and sees your love, Lord, your faithful love work in my life, Lord, and that righteousness and peace work in my heart, Lord, so that I am a purveyor of the kingdom of God. Lord, we just surrender this moment into your hands. Lord, I know that this message, God, is communicated with limitations that we have as individuals. But Holy Spirit, I know that you work beyond our limitations. You work beyond our inability to communicate your truth. So Father, I just pray right now that your truth would fill our hearts. Lord, that you desire us to be ones that stand in the gap. Lord, ones that live with effectual fervency, Lord, to pray and be ones that see transformation in our city, in our valley, in our state, Lord, and in our nation. Lord, we just reject all the lies that this world is just going to hell. Lord, you are more powerful. Your name is above every other name. And your name is above people dying and going to hell. Your name is able to save and deliver and bring those that have been saved and delivered into your kingdom and your light. Just as you did for us, Lord. Help us to not just be saved and just say, okay, just me and no more, Lord. Help us realize, God, that your heart is for all those. You've left the 99 for the one, Lord, that got lost. And we pray, God, that we would have that same heart. In Jesus' name.
For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul for every eye to see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me, like a fire in me. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul for every eye to see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me.
So there's no distance in the Spirit of God. When she says that she's standing here for her grandma Paula, it's as if I'm laying hands and we're praying for Paula right now. So Father, we do. We just lift Paula before your throne of grace. And Lord, we just pray right now, Lord, that you would just give the doctors, Lord, just divine wisdom from heaven, Lord. Give them abilities, Lord, that goes beyond their surgical skills, Lord, or anything that they need to do to bring this change to her body and health. And Lord, we just pray, God, for divine healing. Lord, we pray that whatever it is, Lord, that she has to go in for, that when they start to look, they say, this is interesting. There's no need for us anymore. Yeah, you be the great physician, Lord, in Paula's life, Lord. And let her be able to receive, God, your grace and realize the source of the grace when she receives it. Just bless her now in Jesus' name. Amen. You bet. Praise the Lord. Well, go and be a fire and go have effectual fervency in your prayer life. Amen. Amen.